to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good. Well, hey, it is nice to see you guys today. So as Katie shared, because of your generosity, you helped 40 kids go to camp this year. Through your different fundraisers we did, whether it was you buying a pizza or you buying food over at Panda Express or buying or donating for that Easter basket. Not Easter. Was it Easter? It was Easter, not Mother's Day. I said it wrong last service. The Easter basket or any of the different fundraisers that you participated in. Because of your generosity, we were able to raise $10,000 to help kids go to camp. And as Katie said, 5 kids gave their lives to the Lord. And one of the young men, Sammy right here. Sammy, will you just raise your hand? You don't have to stand up. Just raise your hand. This young man gave his life to the Lord on Tuesday night. Gave his life to the Lord. It's just amazing. You never know who's going to make a decision. You never know the lives that are going to get impacted. And God, and Tuesday night, I wasn't even going to give a salvation. I didn't share this last service because Sammy wasn't in here, but he's in this one, so I'm going to share the story. And crazy, Sammy, God's got a call on your life. He has a call on your life because here's what God did. Tuesday night, I was not going to do a salvation message. I don't like to go on emotion. Granted, I'm an emotional guy, yes, but I don't like to go on emotions. And so I finished speaking, and I'm sitting there, and God goes, Jeremiah, if you go up on stage and give a salvation message, one of Mariana's kids is going to accept me today. He said that. He said, you can wait. You can wait till Thursday. And the speaker Thursday morning, Josh Perlman, he's a good friend of mine. He is all about, I knew he was going to give us up. I'm like, well, that's Josh's thing. And God goes, if you want to let somebody else have the blessing, you can. But if you do, they're going to give their lives to the Lord. And so I get up there, I'm like, oh, God. And that's all, it's nerve-wracking. And anytime you're like, is anybody even like, is this real, God? Did I hear you? So I go and I pray and I'm like, hey, you know, and I talked about pursue. What are you pursuing with your life? Is what you're pursuing worth it? And that was my whole message. And so I say, hey, if you want to accept the Lord, just look up at me. And I see these different eyes. And then I see Sammy's eyes. I'm like, God's like, I told you. Sammy, God's got a call in your life. Follow him with everything you have and he will bless you. I promise you. I promise you, you'll never regret it. So you guys give it up for Sammy. He's a new guy in our family now. It's amazing. So that just it makes everything worth it. So I was at camp, you know, we're going through our series, The Greatest Stories Ever Told, and Jesus was the best storyteller ever to tell stories. He just was an amazing storyteller. And Jesus, he told different stories and told them in ways of parables. Parables to help people understand a big truth in a very practical, simple way, and that's what Jesus did. And so, so that's what this story, that's what this series is all about—the greatest stories ever told. And we're going to look at different stories Jesus told. This week, we were at summer camp, and at Huntington Beach, there's a big pier that goes out into the ocean. Do you guys remember the last time you were on a big pier, the one on the ocean? Have you ever looked down and really wondered, how is this thing standing, and how did they get this thing to stay stable with all the waves? Have you ever wondered that? I have. I've gone up there, and I've looked at it, and I've wondered, like, how is this possible? How can this huge platform, how do they put these big poles into the water? We'll see what they have to do. Is I researched it. They have to drive those pylons, those posts, deep, deep into the earth until it hits bedrock or coral. And then once they've hit that, they know that it's hit a firm foundation. But they can't do it until then. And they have to drive it deep enough and down deep enough so that it can take on, it can hold the lives of people. And not just the lives of people, but it can go through the regular wear and tear that a pier goes through. Have you ever been on a pier and you watch like Santa Monica Pier? That one has a roller coaster on it. And people drive cars on it. And I look going, is this even safe right now? But you see, it has a firm foundation. But not only does it have to withstand the lives of people, the regular wear and tear, but it has to withstand the storms that they come. Because the storms of life come. And they stink when they come. And you can never plan for the storms that come. And sometimes they really hurt, and they hurt deep down in your heart. And if your foundation is not built in the rock, then you'll crumble. But if your foundation is built on the rock of Jesus Christ, then you know what? You will stand. Because I'll promise you, the storms come. And when they hit, it sucks. And it hurts. And it hurts deep. And my family, like, you know, we're walking through a storm even now. And it's one of the worst things. It hurts my heart so bad. I know there's families in here that are walking through storms. And if your foundation is not built on the rock, then you know it will not stand. But here's the truth. A life built on the rock will stand. That's a truth we can all live by. If there's anything I want you to get from today's message is this one point. A life built on the rock will stand. What is your life built on today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this morning. God, I thank you so much that you love us, that you care for us. Lord, I thank you that you desire such good things, Lord. And God, I ask that you'd speak to us this morning. God, that you would encourage our hearts, Lord. And may we evaluate the things, Lord, that we are living and resting our lives on. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. So we are going to be in Luke chapter 6 this morning. And before we get to where I'm really going to land, I want to set the groundwork. And in Luke chapter 6, Jesus is speaking to these crowds of people. He's talking about this life that we are to live. And he first walks in, and these Pharisees, these super religious people, are mad at Jesus and his disciples for eating on the Sabbath, for picking grain. And you have these people who are super religious. Have you ever met those people who are super religious? They just seem to nitpick every single little thing, and they think they're holier than thou. They're those holy rollers. Have you ever met those people that just love to point at everything? Well, that was this group of people. And Jesus says, man, you're so focused on a day. You see, they're worried about this Sabbath day, this one day that they were told to keep holy. He says, you're so worried about a day when you need to be focused on me. You need to be focused on me. On who I am, because I'm the one that makes every day holy. I'm the one that makes every day worth it. I'm the one that makes every day good. And so Jesus is trying to get them to change their focus on following rules, following regulations, following all these things, to following him. And then after that, Jesus goes and he heals a guy on the Sabbath day, and that makes them mad because now Jesus is working. He's doing something good. Has God ever done something good in your life and you have those people who just want to nitpick at it because something good is happening to you and they don't think you deserve it or you should have it? And so you have those things happen. So that's what's going on. And then right after that, Jesus goes and he picks his 12 disciples. Man, he picks some of the craziest men to follow him. He picks a guy who is like this religious zealot. He picks a terrorist. He picks these guys that are just not even what you think. They're fishermen. They're the foul mouth. These guys that you would not pick to be on your team. He picks these 12 guys that nobody would pick to be on their team. And he picks this ragamuffin group of men. He says, you're my 12. And then after that, Jesus goes into this thing called, I have gum in my mouth, I'm sorry. I just realized I did. Haven't done that in a while. And then Jesus goes into what is called the Beatitudes. In the Beatitudes, Jesus talks about a few specific things. He talks about how do you live a happy life. He said, blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who don't have, Jesus says. Where you're not just pursuing riches after riches after riches. Blessed are you who don't have, he says, because you have the kingdom of God. He said, blessed are you who are hungry, for God will satisfy. Blessed are you who don't have everything that you think you need, but God is going to satisfy your needs. And he says, blessed are you who are merciful, for you will receive mercy. Blessed are you who, when somebody is walking through hard times, you go up to them, you say, hey, how are you? Are you okay? You know, it's tough. People go through storms, and some people just sort of walk over them. They don't even care, and you have those friends that don't even acknowledge that you're going through a hard time. They don't even say anything. Jesus says, you want to live a blessed life? Have a heart and feel sorry for somebody. Have a heart. So Jesus says, that's what this blessing comes from. He says, you want to be blessed? Even though you're hungry, I will bless you. He says, even though you do not have, I'm going to give to you. If you have mercy for people who are hurting, God says, I will have mercy for you. So Jesus goes over this blessing, and then he goes over warnings. He says, man, if you think you're better than anybody else or you're unwilling to do these things, warning be to you. He gives this list of warnings then in the following verses. Then right after that, Jesus says, now love your enemies. Love your enemies. And that can be hard, can't it? To love your enemy. To love somebody that you just do not want to love. That can be hard. And then Jesus says, judge and you will be judged. He says, don't be so quick to point out other people's faults. Don't be so quick to do that. He says, be careful. Because if you do that, then it will be done to you. He says, if you want to start pointing out everybody else's faults, then that's going to be done to you too. Don't do that. And then he says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Now that can be hard. Have you guys ever had to forgive somebody that didn't even ask you for forgiveness? They hurt you deep down. And you just like, oh, can you just say I'm sorry? Can you just say it was an accident and you didn't mean to? Can you just do that? Acknowledge? Like my kids, they'll do things to each other. Whether it's one of my sons accidentally steps on the other one and I go, and he's crying, or you ever had those things? They're jumping on the trampoline and one of them will double bounce and hurt the other one. And you're like, just say you're sorry, but I didn't mean to. I know you didn't mean to. But it's the nice thing to do. What does daddy do when he accidentally does something? Like, I step on them or I open the door and there they are and I didn't mean to hurt them. Like, that was never my intent to just whap my kid with something. But what do? I say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry this happened. And Jesus says, okay. He says, you want to live a good life? He's building this platform. He's building this foundation for a life. If you want to live a blessed life, if you want to live a good life, if you want to have a strong life, he says, forgive. Even though sometimes it's not easy. Even though sometimes it's the hardest thing you ever do. And then he says, give and you will receive. Many of you did that when you helped support kids going to camp. You gave. And it's not always that you get to see what happens when you give. But it's amazing that we get to see that not only did God move in lives, but God saved lives. You have no idea what your investment into those young people's lives, what that's going to turn out to be in 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. The people who helped me go to camp when I was a kid, the kindergarten teacher who helped teach me when I was a kid, I don't even know who they are. They might not even be alive anymore, but they don't get to see the investment they had in my life when they taught me in children's ministry at church. But because of their investment, because people helped me go to camp, I remember a guy named Paul, he paid for me to go to a men's retreat once. Because of those investments, I'm here today. You see, and it's not going to end here. My heart is, I want to plant churches. I want to send young people out, young men that feel this call to go and plant churches. I want to say, you know what, go plant a church. And so that reward, that thing that somebody poured into me, that's going to multiply. That's how investments work. So those of you who invested, those of you who invest in City View, you're like, well, it's just giving my money to some building. No, you're not. You're investing in the kingdom. You may not see the investment now, but when you put money into that offering basket, it's going to do things in our city. It's going to multiply what God's going to do. It helped kids go to camp. You helped every single kid get over 50% off of camp this year. Actually, I think I only paid like $100. Camp was $475. I think my wife and I only had to pay $100 because you invested in our youth. So when you give, when we do these things, that's what they're for. Jesus says, if you give, I will give to you. You're like, well, does that mean money? It may not always mean money, but it might be you get to meet a life that accepted Jesus. And what more greater reward is that? And then Jesus says, now a life, a tree that produces good fruit, you'll see it. But a tree that produces bad fruit, you'll see that too. Jesus is building this case. He's building this talk now, and he's getting ready to get to this big point in verse 46. He says, so you've heard me say all these things. You heard me talk about loving your enemies and seeking forgiveness and having mercy for people. You've heard me say all these things. He says, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? Why do you keep calling? Why do you say you follow me with your life, but you do not do what I say? You don't have mercy. You don't forgive. You don't give. You don't serve. You don't do these things. Why do you call me Lord and you don't do? Why? Jesus is speaking to this crowd and he's trying to get their attention. He says, why don't you listen? You see, there's a difference between hearing and listening. I have kids, and I'm a dude. I mean, I've got a problem. My wife will tell me, Hannah, will you do this? I heard her. But there's a difference between hearing and listening with the intent to do. You know what I mean? Your kids, you hear your kids, hey, take out the trash. You know they heard you over Fortnite, over the TV, over their phone or whatever they're playing. You know they heard you. You're living with your roommate. You tell your roommate, hey, will you do this for me? You know they heard you. But were they listening? Were they listening? Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not listen with the plan to do what I tell you to do? You do not love like you should love. You do not forgive like you should forgive. And let me tell you, it's hard. It's hard. It's not easy. And so Jesus is building this case. He says, I will show you what it's like, verse 47, what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. The ESV reads verse 47 like this. Everyone who comes to me, and here's my words, and does them, I will show you what he is like. Jesus gives three things here. He says, everyone who comes to me, makes an action to come forward to Jesus, saying, I want to follow you. He says, and everyone who hears with the plan of listening and doing an active thing with it. And he says, and everyone who does. So you come, you hear, you do. Jesus says, if you want a good life, he says, anybody who does this, he says, this is how it is. Anybody who does these things has a life built on the rock. He says in verse 48, it is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on the solid rock. And when the floodwaters rise and breaks against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. You see, when I was on that pier that day, and I look going, how sturdy is this? You see, I know I can trust because they put it in a firm foundation. What is your foundation built in? What are you building your life on? You see, it's key. If our foundation is not built on something strong, if our foundation is not built on something that can hold, then you know what? Your life will fall apart. But if your foundation is built on the rock, your life will stand. You see, Jesus says, if you do these things and you listen and you follow me and you live this life that I'm talking about, your life will stand when the storms come, because the storms come in life, don't they? The storms come and many times you don't even know they're coming. You weren't planning on it. You were having a great time doing whatever you're doing, and then in the middle you get a phone call, you get a text, you get some terrible message saying, hey, this happened, and all of a sudden, the storms come, and it's hitting against you, and it's going, and Jesus says, if you live this life for me, if you are loving, and you are forgiving, and you're not judging, and you're not focused on following rules, but you are focused on following me, he says, when the storms come, your life will stand on the rock, because a life built on the rock will stand. That's a truth we can all hold on to, because the storms of life, the trials of life, the tests of life, they come, don't they? They come. And no matter how hard you think you can try to prepare for them, they come. But you see, when they come against the rock will stand. It will hold strong. But then Jesus says this, verse 49. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house on the sand without a foundation. And when the floods sweep down against the house, it will collapse it into heaps of ruin. You see, but there's some of us in here where we're building our house on the sand. And we can build it, and we can put a lot of sand down, and we can pack it down, and we can be like, oh, no, it'll be just as firm. I'll pack it down really good, really tight, and I'll make sure that it's really strong, and we build our life on this foundation. We think, man, if I just put a little more sand here, a little more sand here, I'll be okay. But what, have you ever built a sandcastle on the beach? Have you ever done that? You know, I've done that, and I build my sandcastle, and what do you do to protect your sandcastle? But you put a moat around the outside, right? A moat of sand. Not a brick. Not a wall, but you put this moat of sand and you build this and you're like, man, you know, if I just reinforce my life with this moat in front of it, and I'm going to make sure that, you know, that moat's going to protect my sandcastle from the waves that are coming, from the power of the ocean. And so we build this in life, and then we start building our life on this sand. And all of a sudden the waters, the storms of life come, and the rushing and the pounding, all of a sudden the reinforcement we've got is gone. And then all of a sudden, as that goes, what happens to your sandcastle? It gets destroyed, doesn't it? You see, and we build our lives. Who's the first one to get blamed when this falls apart? God. You don't believe in God. You don't trust in God. You don't know God. But when everything falls apart, when all hell breaks loose, who gets blamed? God. But when things are going good, you get that promotion at work, you meet that girl or that guy, whatever, things are good, who gets the blame? Good karma. You got lucky. You're blessed. God doesn't. God gets it when all life is going terrible, but he doesn't get anything when life is going good. You see, I think many of us, we are at one of three places when it comes to the foundations in our life. Some of us, we are trying to build our foundation on the sand, and we're trying so hard. We're like, okay, but I want to make this work. And we're building it on maybe a relationship. We're building it on our personality. We're building it on a job. We're building it on our money. We're building it on finances. We're building it on something, and we're building this foundation on something, and in the end, it will fall apart. In the end, when the storm comes, it will wash away. I've seen houses in other countries that all they have to build their house on is the dirt. And when the storms come and when the rain floods come, when those come, guess what happens to the house? It is destroyed. Because there was no foundation. And some of us were building our house like that. Some of us, we've taken that step of faith and we're building our lives on the firm foundation. We're building our lives on Jesus, the rock. We're building our lives on this. And when the storms come and they hit us and they hit our lives, and it's hard. It's not easy because the house is still taking a beating. The house is still taking the winds. It's still taking the storms, and they come and they hit us, but we're able to stand strong. We're able to still be there because Jesus is our rock. Jesus is our foundation. But see, I think there's some of us that what we do is we know we need Jesus, so we've got Jesus. But then we do Jesus and. And we think, well, Jesus, you're good and all. I know I need you, but man, I need something else too. I need this relationship, or I need this job, or I need this person, or I need this thing. And so we add Jesus and something. Jesus plus something. And so we add this to our lives. And we think, okay, I have God. I've got this foundation, but I need this too. And so we build our lives on this. And what does this part right here become? Our weak point. Our weak point. You may look, but Jeremiah, I mean, why can't it stand? Why can't it stand? Because when the storms come, because they will, and they do, and the devil, what does he look for? He doesn't look for the strong point. He knows he can't take out Jesus. How does he know that? Because he tried to kill him, and he couldn't. He died, Jesus died, and Satan's like, woo, and then Jesus rose, and Satan's like, what the? How in the world did you do that? And Jesus is like, you can't keep me down. You see, so you say, but, you know, I got Jesus, but here's what the devil looks for. He looks for the weak point in your life. He looks for the and in your life, the plus something in your life. That's what the devil looks for. He looks for this point. This point, because if this point gets ruined, it ruins the entire foundation. Because it was never really built on Jesus. It was always built on Jesus with a bunch of sand. When I used to work construction, and I was a hottie, was the term. I was the guy who was the grunt. And my responsibility was like taking the blocks, and I'd throw them out of the truck, and I'd mix the cement. That was my job. And man, those guys, they were, man, I was too slow for them. And they were so fast, and they were so talented. But there were days where I'd mix the cement. And if you have too much sand in the cement, it will not work. It will be weak. And so I'll mix the cement, and one of the guys, his name was Fernando, and he would go, Jeremiah, what is this? I go, I mixed the cement. He goes, this isn't cement. This is sand. He goes, I can't put a block wall in this. If I do, it'll fall down. Add another bag of cement. So I have to pick up that 80-pound bag and throw it into the mixer and get all dirty. And But the thing is, he knew that that mixture would never hold when the storms and when kids climb on that wall and when dogs jump on it. He knew that it would never stand. You see, what are you building your life on today? If you are doing Jesus and, you need to get rid of your and. I don't know what your and is. I don't know what your plus is. I don't know what your something is. But if it's Jesus and, get rid of your and fill it with Jesus. If you're building your life on the sand, things may be going okay right now. But let me tell you, the storms will come, and this will never hold you. This will never satisfy. You will always feel like something is crumbling beneath you. You will always feel like your life is never stable. You will always feel like something is missing when you build your life on the sand. But let me tell you, when you build your life on Jesus, a life built on the rock will stand. A life built on the rock will stand. That's the one point I want you to remember today. It's going to be right here on the screen. A life built on the rock will stand. Say it with me this morning. A life built on the rock will stand. Say that again. A life built on the rock will stand. Your storms will come. Your storms of life will come. My family and I are walking through a terrible one right now. It's one of the hardest things I've had to walk my kids through. Crying themselves to sleep the past two nights. It's terrible. But man, my middle son, Joel, listening to him, and you, some of you may think, are my kids getting anything? They're hearing. And he said, you know what, but God still got us. He's 10. He's crying, and he says, but it's still going to be okay because God's still faithful. The storms of life come, and they suck when they do. And you can be so mad and so angry, and things come, and they crash against you in life. And if your life is built here, you will crumble, you will fall, and you will hate it, and you will blame everybody you can, but that's how it's going to be. It's just going to suck. And if you build your life with Jesus and the Satan, he will find that weak point. And he will penetrate, and he will keep going and pushing and pushing and pushing until he gets through that weak point. You may try to pack it. You may try to make it strong. You may have Jesus, and you have a strong weak point. But the thing is, a weak point will crumble. But Jesus, the rock of our foundation, the rock of our salvation, the one who loves us with everything that we have, Jesus, nothing can take him out. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will ever be able to separate you from God's love. Nothing. So I ask you this morning, what is your life built on? Is your life built on the sand? Are you trying to build moats, and are you trying to build up sand walls to protect yourself from the ocean waves, the storms of life? Because that, if that's what you're doing, the waves are coming. If your life is built on the Jesus and, you've got Jesus and you've got the and in here, this and will break. This and will collapse. And the waves of life will come in. And the life you've built will crumble. But if your life is built on Jesus Christ, you know what? Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. He is the rock of our salvation. He is the only one we can hold on to. And he will always be true and always be loving. So I ask you, what is your life built on today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you that we can build our lives on you. Lord, I thank you, God, that you love us, that you care for us, that you have good plans for us. And Jesus, I ask that you would help us to live for you today. Help us to build our lives on you and nothing else. Not you and, but you and only you. You know, I know that there's some of you in here today and you've been building your lives on the sand. And that's what you've been doing. And you did, maybe you didn't know better. You've just been building this life and you thought, man, if I do good enough and if I try hard enough, if I work hard enough, if I love good enough, then my life will be okay. But you're realizing that this will never satisfy. You're going, Jeremiah, but I want to build my life on the rock. I want to give you that opportunity today by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And if that's you today, if you know that you need to build your life on Jesus Christ, you want him to be your foundation, I want you to pray with me. You don't have to pray out loud. You're more than welcome to. But pray with me. Pray with me these words. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for how I've been living. I'm sorry for putting my faith in a pile of sand and not in you. Lord, I didn't know. And God, I ask that you would forgive me. I believe in your son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for me. I believe that he rose again from the dead for me. And I believe that he lives in heaven now. And God, I ask that you would set me free from this life I've been living. And help me, Lord, live for you. God, I put my faith in you. I put my trust in your son's name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name alone. If you guys would, please keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed. If you prayed with me this morning, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. What I ask that you just raise your hand that I might pray for you. If you prayed with me this morning, is there anybody in here that prayed with me this morning? Okay, awesome. Anybody else? Awesome. Anybody else? Lord, you see our hands raised. Awesome. You know our hearts. You know where we're coming from. Lord, you know what we've been building our lives on. And Lord, I ask, God, that we would build our lives on you. Now, maybe there's some of you in here this morning and you've been building your life with Jesus and you realize you have a weak point and you need to get rid of that weak point. Say, God, help me see my weak points. God, help me see those points in my foundation that are not strong and help me build it only on you. Help me reveal them to me and help me to see, Lord, that I can trust in you with everything. God, you know our lives. You know what's going on in our hearts. Lord, I ask that you would reveal to each and every one of us this morning those weak points that we have. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would go in, that you would clean them out, Lord, and may we be strong in you. May we stand on you and you alone, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.